This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to today's edition of Market Talk. In this week's episode, we'll be asking, how are central bank narratives setting the tone for financial markets? Is China prepared to relax its COVID restrictions or not? What will the outcome of the US midterms mean for investors? And will there be signs of inflationary easing in this week's US CPI numbers? So asking all these questions and more is me, Francis Watson, content manager, and refreshed and raring to go from his holidays, Ben Bennett, head of investment strategy and research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Francis. Yes, definitely refreshed, although a little bit less refreshed than I was on Friday. I've been to the Hong Kong Sevens over this weekend, so that I took a little bit of refreshment out of me, but struggling and surviving.
Well, that's good to hear anyway. I mean, look, talking of struggling and surviving, Fed watchers, there's no let up in sight, is there? They've just announced last week their fourth in a row 0.75 bips hike, and there doesn't seem to be any policy pivot in sight.
Yeah, since I've been away 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, and yeah, almost to the day when I left, there was a bit of a pivot rally. I think data got bad enough again, and maybe markets got weak enough again, such that, you know, investors hope that the Fed might slow their pace of hiking, might take their foot off the accelerator. And actually, let's take the 12th of October as a dip in the markets, a recent dip. Since then, since the 12th of October, up until Friday's close, so this is the 4th of November, Friday the 4th of November, the S&P 500 was up over 5%, 5.4%. Euro stocks did even better, up nearly 11%, 10.7%. And then credit markets also had a pretty good rally, probably better than equities, in fact. So dollar investment grade credit between those two dates in terms of spreads, credit spreads, 13 basis points tighter. And then the high yield market did the best of all, 71 basis points tighter. So there was a lot priced in to the potential for the Fed to ease their aggressive policy. But the problem the Fed has is that as soon as investors price in a pivot and you see markets rally, that's financial conditions easing. That's making things easier for the economy. And that's actually not what they want. That the Fed wants to see continued pressure on the economy in order to try and drive out inflation. They want to see the labor market loosening. They want to see a little bit less growth. So yeah, last week when they did their meeting, they continued to hike by 75 basis points. So they pushed back against the pivot. What they said, I think, was interesting, that they said potentially the rate hikes would slow. So maybe that was the last 75 basis point rate hike, we'll see. But they also said that they're going to probably hike to a higher level than previously expected. So it's sort of slower but higher. And you add that together, it's not really a pivot, is it? That's still trying to squash financial conditions. And like I said, trying to slow things down to try and get inflation under control.
So that's the US Federal Reserve then, Ben. But statements last week from the Bank of Canada, the European Central Bank, and the BOE, all looking to slow the pace of tightening, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, for different reasons. So, you know, if the Bank of England, of course, we've got the autumn statement in the next 2 weeks after the mini budget. So, you know, I think they have to be a little bit cautious about just how many cuts are going to be coming from the government. You know, if there's big cuts, big fiscal austerity, they would probably have to adjust their monetary policy, maybe not be quite so aggressive hiking. The European Central Bank is focused on the fact that a lot of Europe is sliding into recession as we talk. Actually, Eurozone GDP surprised slightly to the positive end, so it's a little bit better than expected in the third quarter, but it does look as though they're sliding into recession, so maybe they're a little bit worried about tightening too much. Bank of Canada similarly have done an awful lot. Maybe they want to take the foot off the accelerator. The Federal Reserve at some point will slow their tightening, but the US economy is one of the strongest in the globe right now, and therefore they're not in the same position as potentially those other central banks. I guess that's what I'm saying.
It seems to me there is a divergence between Europe slipping into recession and the US resisting it. I was reading something quite interesting. You know the old adage, when everyone says, don't they, well, the US is going into recession. If everyone's saying it, it might not even happen. Do you think then, are you at any stage thinking, actually, you know what, the US is going to hold up much better than the rest of Europe?
There's a path to a soft landing. There always has been, to be fair, until we get actually a recession, there is a path to a soft landing. But even the Fed chair, Jay Powell, admitted or hinted at the last Fed meeting that that path is getting narrower. So the way that you do it really is to continue job creation at a slower pace, but maintain some degree of spending power, and to not have to shutter manufacturing or not have to shutter service providers quite so aggressively as currently that we currently worry about. Like I said, there is a path there, but it is pretty narrow. And the other problem that the globe has got, that even if you did get a soft landing, earnings in the US, equity earnings, will probably have to decelerate from here, because we know lots of companies are being squeezed because of higher input costs, that suggesting in the future that we're going to see lower earnings. And that's going to be impacting the S&P 500, other equity markets to some degree. It was interesting, actually, this last couple of weeks, I mentioned some of those moves around the pivot rally. Equities probably didn't do quite as well as credit did, for example. And that's because we're already starting to see some of those earnings turn south, or hints that they're going to be worse next year, particularly from the big technology sectors. I mean, you'd have seen all those. And that's the area of the US market that has suffered a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Over the same period I was talking about, since the 12th of October to the 4th of November, the NASDAQ is pretty much flat, you know, is up maybe 0.5%. So that's telling you already that investors are looking at that earnings problem, which will occur even if the US avoids a recession.
But just remind us, Ben, what are US earnings for 2023? What have people got penciled in?
Well, we think they're going to fall quite aggressively. If you look at the model R growth forecast, which is for a modest recession, a shallow recession in the US. So we're not forecasting anything too aggressive. But even with a shallow recession, we think earnings could be down 20% from the peaks in the US. So that sort of number. And right about now, the Q3 earnings season is running still with a growth of about 4% compared to Q3 last year. So we continue to see increases on a year-on-year basis, but we do think that that'll change next year.
But that's below inflation, because like core inflation in the US, we're hovering around 6, aren't we? So are you saying that earnings will come in below inflation, even though some companies have managed to pass on prices?
Yeah, inflation, we think earnings are going to be down next year. So it's definitely going to be below inflation. But that's what happens in recessions. You know, it's almost impossible for companies to cut fast enough to offset the fall in sales. So that's what's happening. But remember, the Federal Reserve is sort of encouraging this because they need to see labor markets loosen. They need to, you know, that's euphemistic for saying they need to see people getting fired, unfortunately, in order to reduce the wage growth that we're seeing at the minute. So this is all part of the plan, and the Fed is just hoping to do this in a relatively smooth way to avoid a really sharp downturn.
Okay, should we go from the US to China then? Whilst you were away, Ben, Hang Seng was sort of hovering around 2009 levels at one point, recovered a little bit since then, but what is behind this volatility?
Yeah, that was the other thing that has happened since I've been away. The China Party Congress, where President Xi Jinping has got a third term, and has been the Standing Committee of the Politburo has been unveiled. And the focus for investors around this time has been on the prospects of a reopening in China away from the very restrictive zero COVID policy. Now, we haven't seen anything tangible, but there's plenty of discussions about whether or not that timing, perhaps now the power shuffle has happened, that policymakers feel more emboldened to be a bit more aggressive in terms of allowing COVID to spread a little bit more. Like I said, that hasn't happened yet. In fact, we've seen further lockdowns over the last couple of weeks. But it's that hope, potentially, that's seeing some of these moves. And remember, the Hang Seng has had a torrid year. I mean, it's, as you say, down at levels seen many, many years ago. So there is an element as well, the sentiment is pretty much rock bottom, and it doesn't take much to see a big move. And the Hang Seng's price swings have been absolutely massive over the last couple of daily moves of 5% and above are not that uncommon. So, you know, you can see some big sentiment swings going on there, but it's more hope than reality so far, but that's definitely a focus.
Okay, so you mentioned sentiment. Should we just turn attention then to government bond markets? And I'm not just talking UK here, I'm just talking global. Do you think there's a sense that more stability now has been injected into those markets than previously? And I am talking the fallout from that mini budget.
Yeah, definitely volatility has reduced. I think there's a few things that we can think about from the mini budget. I think up until a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of discussion about the end of fiscal austerity, that the way that we would focus now to try and beat an economic downturn would be to increase spending, government spending, and that would have to then be offset by central banks. And that's why, you know, perhaps that's one of the reasons why we've seen some of the big decreases in markets this year, because, you know, when central banks tighten, that seems to impact asset prices quite a lot. But maybe the fallout of the mini budget, and not just in the UK but elsewhere, push back against some of that fiscal largesse is then maybe reducing some of the impact that the central banks have to do in the future. We've already spoken about the Bank of England, you know, that could be a result of that too. Having said all that, you know, we still see yields continue to creep higher, certainly shorter dated yields in the US, 2-year yields at the end of last week up at 4.7%. So it's not as if bond market yields are falling, it's just maybe we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel on some of those increases, and that could be one of the fallout.
Giving us some clues maybe will be US CPI inflation numbers, which are due out this week. Now, we know that global housing has softened a bit. We know that auto prices have softened a bit. I mean, we are expecting, are we not, some sort of decline in those numbers?
Yeah, I think headline inflation probably has peaked. I think I've said that about 6 times on this podcast over the last 18 months.
You've got to be right one day, Ben.
Take that with a pinch of salt. Like I said, everyone has underestimated inflation, unfortunately. But yeah, it does look as though, for some of the reasons that you expressed just then, you know, used auto car prices, energy prices, headline inflation does look as though it's peaked. But at the same time, a lot of the core prices have been stickier than expected. So our forecast really is for inflation to start to come down from a very high level, but to remain sticky throughout the whole of next year. And that's why the Federal Reserve probably does. It can slow the hikes, but it will have to maintain quite a high level of interest rates throughout most of next year. And that's why we're worried about the recession. But yeah, maybe the inflation has peaked for now.
And of course, it's inflation, isn't it, that is at the forefront of the US consumer's mind. And against that background, we've got the US midterms results on Tuesday.
That's right. From an investor point of view, I was reading something this morning, actually, that was highlighting the fact that almost every single midterm election is followed by an equity market rally. I think some of that is just the fact that uncertainty is no longer there. And also the time of year happens often when there is a rally into year end, a so-called Santa rally. But I do think that's all pretty spurious analysis. I wouldn't bank on that personally. I think from this time around, because obviously President Biden will still be in place for at least another 2 years, if the Democrats were to win both the other two parts of government, the House of Representatives, the Senate, they would be in a position to enact more aggressive policy, potentially more fiscal easing, which could require more Fed rate hikes, that sort of thing. Whether or not that's good or bad for the consumer, that might undermine market investor confidence. So I think the unlikely scenario where the Democrats win everything, barring that, I think it's probably a bit of a non-event for now, and we'll quickly focus on to the presidential election in 2 years' time.
I'm sure we'll all be up during the night awaiting the result with bated breath. So now, talking about waiting with bated breath, what's your number then for November and why have you chosen it?
Well, it's almost my pet topic that, again, I've spoken about for a little while. It's the China property developer market. As after the party congress, the other thing that I guess investors are hoping for, maybe that China would be a little bit less aggressive on the property developer sector, that maybe that allow them to not have to delever quite as much as they were doing before. So I checked the dollar offshore high yield bond market, and unfortunately the number is -73, because it is now -73%, so down 73% since the highs of that index, which was in May 2021. So it just is incredible, isn't it, how much, you know, parts of the market can just be destroyed over a relatively short period of time. Exactly.
Look, we're going to talk in December, talking about where we will probably shed some light on 2023, who knows. And Ben, in the meantime, thanks so much for all your input, and thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For professional investors only.